All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome back. Some of you are the same. Some of you are new. I have a feeling that there's going to be some things that I say in this class that I said in the last class, so you'll just have to deal with it, I guess. All right. Organization in the first grade classroom. And if you're not teaching first grade, maybe it can be a help to you for whatever you're teaching. It's not just about first grade, but some of it is geared more towards how to deal with first graders. Number one, have a welcoming classroom. Use decor that is interesting and attractive to the children. And I don't know, I think this is pretty important. Maybe I put too much stock in it, but I think sometimes I do it just as much for myself as I do it for the children. I'm there for 9 months every day, sometimes for hours and hours, and I like to be in a place that's fun and comfortable. So don't make your classrooms drab, especially for little children. They are just delighted with colorful things and fun things that are there. And it can be through your bulletin boards, things that you have in your classroom, pets, if you have a pet, whatever. They love having interesting things. Make them feel at home in the classroom. I touched on this a little bit in the last class. Names on their desks, coat hooks, kind of goes with the whole thing of kind of letting them take ownership of the classroom a little bit as far as being there. Make it a safe, fun place for them to want to come to. Keep the classroom neat. Make it a place the children want to come back to each morning. None of us like to start out the day in a messy place, at least I don't. Do what you gotta do in the evenings to keep your classroom clean for the next morning. I often try to go through and sweep it, clean it up, whatever. Just make it a nice place, attractive place for them to come back to. Change things around occasionally. It'll benefit both you and your students, whether it's your bulletin boards, changing their desks, the decor, whatever. There again, I think I do it more for myself than anything. All of a sudden I realize it's been a long time since I've changed anything around, and I just get this itch to change the entire classroom. All right. Going down to being organized as a teacher, and this can definitely come with personality. Some people are very, very organized. Some of us are sort of, kind of, not always very much so. Keep your mind clear by getting plenty of sleep and eating well. And that can be really hard, at least for myself as a teacher, to make sure I get the amount of sleep and eating properly. I live by myself, and it's easy to just eat whatever. And I don't think we realize how much sleep and the way we eat affects the way we feel every day. Figure out when you work best. Do you do better thinking in the evening or in the morning? And for me, I'm more of a morning person, and I deal with life better in the morning. And I know that's not the way a lot of people are, and that's fine. But for me, I'd much rather go to school early in the morning and do my grading and get ready for my day than do it the night before. Now, that doesn't always work, because I do like to figure out what I'm doing the next day, and if you have to bring stuff for class or whatever, it doesn't work very well to try to be doing that at 7 o'clock the next morning and realize you need all kinds of stuff from home. But do your work when your mind is the most clear. Know your books and what you're teaching. For me, that wasn't extremely difficult. I grew up with CLE, and that's what I teach. And so that was pretty easy for me. But do what you need to do. Plan in the evening, the morning. Know what you're going to be doing for each day. Talking a little bit about the first day, have a plan for the first day of school, but be flexible. First days can kind of be, never know how they're going to go. I know some schools kind of have traditions and things they do, and our school does anyway. So have a plan, but be okay with it if you don't do everything exactly the way you thought you might. Organize your classroom to your taste and liking. Kind of goes along with, how you have your classroom set up. Plan ahead what you can. Programs, bulletin boards, extra activities, field trips, devotions. I don't do very well with that. I don't know. I guess I work better under pressure. And I admire these teachers that get to the end of July and they have every bulletin board and all their programs planned out for the next 9 months. That's not me. I have nothing done for this coming year, so it's kind of exposing myself a little bit there. But look at lessons the night before so you can bring things to class if you need to. Just talked about that a little bit already. And especially for the younger grades, bring stuff with you. I talked about that in my other class a little bit. They just love it. Or have them bring stuff. Tell them the night before as they're going out the door, hey, could you bring whatever, something for learning to read class? I mean, I usually give them something specific, but they enjoy being able to bring things to for class. Keep things scored up. It's easy to sometimes think, I'll do that later, and then get behind, and it just, it's better to keep things scored up, and first grade is usually pretty simple to do that, so. Have a place for everything. Help the children to know where to put their books when they're finished, or papers, tests and quizzes, lessons and tests that are finished or scored. It'll just help to keep things a little bit more organized and clear in your mind. 3, teach your students to be organized. And this can be challenging. Some children are very neat, and some children are not very neat. So it can be very challenging. Show them how to arrange their desks to keep them neat, so they know where things are when they need them. And that's something I do the first day of school. Usually when they come on the first day, I just let them put their stuff in their desks. I don't want to make a big deal about it. It's usually kind of a big, the parents are there and I don't make a big deal about it. But usually later on, sometime in the day, I'll tell them to all open their desks. And then usually I'll pick one student and arrange their stuff the way I want them to have it arranged. And then show all the others, and I'm not super, super picky, but I like for their books to all be on one side of their desk in a pile, and I often tell them where to put their pencils and erasers and that type of thing. Just, when they need it, they know where it's at, and it just helps them to be organized. Especially, I found that for students who aren't very organized, who naturally aren't that way, it kind of gives them, they know where stuff is. They know, kind of teaches them how to be organized a little bit. Teach them where things belong in the classroom, and that when they get something out, that's where it belongs when they're done with it. Help them to learn a routine for before school. What do you expect of them? What do you want them to do when they get there in the morning? Put all their things away, pass out books or papers, do morning jobs if there are any. 4, have a daily schedule and routine. Once again, what happens? What do you want them to do when they get there? Have class periods, and this can take a little bit of time to figure out what works best, especially if you're teaching more than just first grade. It's going to take some time to figure out what works best, but it's good to at least start off with a plan, even if you don't stick with it for the entire year. For myself, when I had first and second grade, I would teach a class and then have them do their work or work the lesson, and then I usually used the period between each recess as a class. So it kind of depends on how your recesses are as to whether you can use that as your class periods. Who passes out books? How should they do it, and when? And I know some of this stuff sounds so, maybe I sound overly particular or picky or whatever, but it just makes things flow better if you have a way to do things. And I think it even makes the children feel safer if they just know that, okay, when I pass out books, this is how I'm expected to do it. Or, yeah, just a good routine. What are students to do when they come in from recess? Do you want them to go directly to their seats? Do you have a bell? Do they have a timer where they can mess around for a couple minutes until the timer rings? What do you want them to do? For my students, they just know that when the bell rings, when recess is over with, they go get drinks, use the restroom, whatever. And then as soon as they enter the classroom, then they're just expected to go to their seats. And usually they settle down pretty much right away. But I have had years, it kind of depends on your group of students too. I've had years where I've had to use a bell because, I don't know, too many procrastinators or something. So do what works best. Figure out what you need to do with your group of students. How are you going to dismiss them at the end of the day? Do you want them to line up? For mine, when the bell rings, we have a bell 15 minutes before school's out, and that's the cleanup bell. And they know what they're supposed to do as far as cleaning up the floor, emptying their trash can, sharpening pencils for the next day. And then as soon as that's all done, they know they can get their backpacks and lunch pail, and then we line up and dismiss that way. Create a routine that is comfortable for you and for your students. Routine and schedule will build efficiency and help your classroom flow smoothly. So, once again, figure out what works for you. Don't go by what Kayla said. The first 2 years that I taught, I was a teacher's aide, and I had a very, very good teacher to learn by. And so then the first year that I taught myself, my own classroom, I did kind of struggle with it a little bit. I tried to do everything the way she did, and it just didn't really work. I used a lot of her ideas, and I'm very, very thankful that I had her to go by. But figure out what works best for you and for the group of students that you have. Number 5, teach responsibility. And this can be a challenge too. Once again, some children are just naturally more responsible than others, especially I found that oldest children in the family take responsibility a lot quicker than the youngest babies. To teach responsibility, you as a teacher must be responsible as well. So set an example. And I remember as a student noticing things like that about my teacher, maybe not necessarily in first grade, but be a good example. Be responsible yourself. Once you have established and taught a routine, expect them to remember. First graders adapt and learn routine very quickly, and they will thrive on it. And they do. I'm just amazed at how quickly they pick up my routine at the beginning of the year. In fact, sometimes I feel like they remember it some days better than I do. They will remind me of, Sister Kayla, we're supposed to do. Teach work before play. Teach them that work does come first, but that there is time for play as well. Once they start learning responsibility, they will also be more independent. And that's kind of what we're working towards a little bit in first grade, is helping them to learn to work independently. The faster they can learn to be independent, the better. Not that you're trying to shove them out on their own, but if they learn responsibility, it will help them with working more on their own and not being so needy or dependent on you. I'm not quite sure this next year. My kindergarten class that I had last year, it was a class of 10, and they were a very, very needy, kind of high-maintenance group. So I'm not sure how this is going to go in first grade. We'll see. By the end of kindergarten last year, they were doing better, but it'll be interesting to see how they are in first grade. Okay, going on to incentives. I still like incentives as an adult, and children like incentives. Common uses for incentives: good grades, neat work, hundreds, Bible memory, behavior, reading books, winter fun days, speed drills, neat desks, flashcards. Those are some things that I, throughout the year, will do incentives for. But I have found that if I don't have an incentive plan at the beginning of the year, it never happens. I've had good intentions over the years to have an incentive for hundreds or whatever, and if I don't plan it at the beginning of the year, it just never happens. Number 7, what makes a child desire to do well? They want to please you, especially little children. They just love to make you happy. And they often will do pretty much whatever it takes to try to please you. They desire to do well when they hear you compliment other people or other children. And I've found that before. If I compliment a child on something, pretty soon somebody else will raise their hand and show me what they just did. And yeah, they want a compliment, and that's okay. Notice what they do. They desire to do well if they know they're getting a reward. And once again, we as adults are kind of the same way. If we know something's coming in the end, it gives us a desire to do our best. If they know that their work will be seen by others. I don't put just a lot of work up on the walls, but I have put art projects, different things up on the wall for display, and they love it. They love being able to see what they've done, what other children have done, and that gives them an incentive to do good work. Now, some things to remember when planning an incentive. It should be effective and simple. And this is a little bit of a struggle for me sometimes, because I come up with these incentive plans and then they end up being more stress and work than sometimes they're worth. So before you give the incentive, make sure that it's not going to stress you out, that it's something that will be worth it but not terribly stressful. I try to usually do something that the children can kind of be more responsible for. It's usually something you kind of have to keep track of, but help them to be responsible for whatever incentive you're working on, whether it's having the stickers available so they can put their own stickers up, or having the charts, if it's a chart, put the chart down low enough that they can take care of it themselves, whatever it is. Don't make it stressful. Keep them simple. Make it fun. Make it something that it's worth their energy for, that they want to work for. And it should be something they need to work for, but can be reached with effort. And this can be challenging, because you have all different levels, types of children in your classroom, and that can be a big challenge, is having an incentive that makes the really, really fast, quick ones work, but that it's not too hard for the ones that might struggle a little bit more. So think through your incentives carefully before you throw it out there for them. Okay, some incentives that have worked for me. Oh, one more thing that I wanted to say about when planning an incentive, especially depending on what it is, don't be afraid to let the parents know about it. I've had parents come to me before and say, hey, I hear you're doing such and such in your classroom. Is there something I can do to help with it? Or often parents are, they're all for it just as much as you are. Sometimes, especially if it's a behavior thing, which I don't do just a lot of incentives for behavior, I have some. But if they know that you're working on something specific at school, I found that parents will help you out at home too if they know about it. Okay, some incentives that I've done. CAM sticker charts, or school kit programs. Those were probably almost some of my favorites that I did. One year I did, I can't even remember what I did it for, but I did a sticker chart. They send them to you. You just have to order them. Cam will send it to you. It's a big chart with stickers, and you can use it for whatever you want. I did that one year, and then another year I did one where I got the bags, the school kit bags, and I bought all the supplies that go in the school kits, and then the children earned the stuff for the school kits. I don't know, I think I had some type of ticket system, or I don't know, it's been quite a while ago that I did it. And at the end of each week, I think they were able to buy, depending on how much money they had, they could buy the supplies to put into their bag. Each child had a bag, and they just loved it. And I like doing incentives like that, where it's not just about them getting something in the end. They were so excited to be able to send these bags off. And that was one incentive where the parents wanted to know about it. Some of them offered to help pay for the supplies, but don't expect them to do anything. Remember that you are the one that planned the incentive, and carry it through. Expect to carry it through yourself, but don't be afraid to let the parents know what's happening, whether it's just sending a note home and saying, hey, this is what we're doing, or filling a gumball machine. Last year I made a giant gumball machine out of poster board, stuck it up on my bulletin board, and then I had a chart it was for good grades. I think a 95, or was it a 90 to 95, maybe they got to put up one gumball on the machine, and if they got 95 to 100, I think they got to put up two gumballs. And then I told them we'd do something special once the ball of the gumball machine was all filled up. And that was really fun. We did that last winter. Sticker charts for flashcards. Especially with first grade, there's lots and lots of flashcards, and they need those flashcards, and sometimes it can become very monotonous and tiring, and it's the same thing every day. So I often try to do some sort of incentive to spice that up a little bit. And it doesn't have to be much. Often I'll just get a big poster and put each of their names on it, and usually what I'll do is time them on their flashcards. If they get more one day than what they did the next day, then they get to put a sticker up. And sometimes I'll tell them that once you get to the end of your row, then you get a small prize or something. Piece of candy. Remember, incentives don't have to be major for first grade. They're pleased with anything. I've done a paper chain for neat work different times. I'm assuming all of you know what I mean by a paper chain. At the end of the day, when I'd score their work, if I felt like their lesson was neat, I would stick a piece of paper in their light unit, and then the next morning they would connect it to the chain. And one year, I think I have a pretty large classroom. It's bigger than this, and I think we got it to go pretty much all the way around the classroom, and that was really fun. For neatness, new mechanical pencil for neat work. I do this, I think I've done it every year since I started, which is probably 5 years ago I think I started doing this. Once we're well into the year a little bit, I'll tell them, okay, I'm going to start really paying attention to your handwriting, which should be paying attention to their handwriting all the time, but especially when I can tell they're just starting to get a little bit sloppy, and I'll say, once I can tell that you're doing your best and working hard to be neat all the time, some morning you'll find a new pencil on your desk, a mechanical pencil. And I usually wait a little while to do it with first grade because I like them to start out the year with wooden pencils. It just seems like they deal with wooden pencils better at the beginning of the year. And it's amazing how hard they will work for that. They put forth a lot of effort. But I also tell them that if I notice their work is getting sloppy again, the pencil comes back to Sister Kayla until I notice that they're trying to keep things neat again. So that's I like that. I use that pretty much every year. Prizes for neat desks. They like to remind me that our desks are neat, and you haven't given us any prize lately. extra recess. That's sometimes can be a good way to give an incentive for something. All right, on to discipline. And this I always feel kind of scared about talking about because, yes, I've taught for a long time, but neither have I had my very own children. So I've learned a lot over the years, but child training is tricky. What can cause misbehavior? Sometimes it's really easy to think, well, this child is just being a brat. And they're frustrating. But over the years, I have come to realize that there's a host of other things that can cause misbehavior in children. Could be they're not feeling well. Could be a health problem that they're dealing with. One year, I had a first grader who was just constantly tired. I mean, she just could not go. She would get to about lunchtime, and she could not function. And finally, they started doctoring, and they realized that there was an actual health problem. I think for a while, she just came half days until she got through that. Could be a lack of sleep. Did they get to bed late the night before? Or were they on a trip and didn't get home till late? Bad eating habits. And this one, I try to be careful, but I have had to make some moms aware of it and do it carefully. We're not their parents. We're not the ones that pack their lunches, but I finally realized one year that I had a child who was packing their very own lunch. It was a first grader. And when they came to school with just a piece of bologna, that does not hold a child over very well. And yeah, sometimes you just need to make the parents aware of it. But like I said, be very careful. Be gentle about that type of thing. And I think in the one case, the mom just had no idea that the child was only putting that amount of food in their lunch. So, lack of emotional security. We don't know what all's going on at home. There could be things going on that we just have no idea about. Lack of attention, and that kind of goes along with the emotional security a little bit. Was it 2 years ago, there was several children in my classroom that their moms had babies at some point throughout the year, and that can be, it's fun, they love it, but it's also, I found that out over my years of teaching that that's one thing that can, especially in kindergartners, first graders, can take a toll on them. They're not getting the attention that they're used to getting or whatever. Or maybe, yeah, mom and dad have been extra busy. Stress at home. I've just, especially in the last couple years of teaching, I've had some students that have really struggled with some things, and I just came to realize that just be very careful before you pinpoint anything and say, well, they're just trying me out or being obnoxious or whatever. Often there's something behind it. What can I as a teacher do to prevent misbehavior? Set a good example. Our attitudes and outlook on life bleeds through to the children much quicker than we realize. If I come to school with feeling overly tired or grumpy or whatever, it comes through to the children very quickly. And I think sometimes the days that we claim as bad days may be more because we started out with a bad day than actually the children coming to school being bad. Be prepared. Go into the day feeling ready for it. Know what your plan is. Once again, be flexible with your plans. Minimize distractions. Take away as many distractions as you can. Now, it's not that children do need to learn to concentrate. Last year I had, was the first year that I only had first grade in my classroom. And so by the time kindergarten came, they were very used to only having, it was just them in my classroom. And kindergarten came and it was a big switch for them. And it was actually a switch for me too, because I got used to just, yeah, you're a little bit noisier when it's only one, you're teaching only one class. There's no other students in there to distract, and my classroom is upstairs away from everybody else, so we tend to kind of probably be a little bit noisier than some of the other classrooms. But it was really good for them to have to learn to be quieter for the other children. Give clear directions and instructions. Be very clear with them. Once again, children like, they like to know exactly what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it, and they will listen. They often will listen much better if they know very clearly how they are supposed to do something. Especially when you're giving instructions on how to do their work or their lesson, they will, that helps with their behavior. Make eye contact with them. When you're talking to them, when you're giving them a direction about something, meet their eye and get them to look at you. Sometimes I have to tell my children, okay, look at me. And they will, they often remember a lot better if you are looking right at them. Don't be afraid to walk around. I try to walk around quite a bit when I'm teaching. And they notice when you're walking around. I don't know, it just seems like they perform a little bit better. They like to, if they know that I'm kind of peering over their shoulder, they try to do a little bit, I don't know, do it a little extra neater, or if you're, if they know that you're going to be coming around looking at what they're doing. And be aware of what they're doing. If you're up and around more, they will behave, their behavior will be better. Keep them busy, especially with kindergartners, first graders, they need to be busy. And it doesn't always have to be their work, but keep things there for them to do. Have profitable extra activities. Sometimes it's too easy for me to just say, well, just go read a book or go look at a book. I love to read, and so if I have spare time, that's what I want to do, but have extra things for them to do, whether it's extra practice papers that they can do, or if you don't feel like they need extra practice, puzzles, things to help them with coordination. Last year, mine kind of got into stringing beads, and that seems kind of menial or not anything great, but it's great for their coordination, things like that. Be consistent. The more consistent you are with them, the less behavior problems you will have. And once again, that is the thing in teaching that I find the hardest to do, is to just consistently be consistent. It's hard. Sometimes you want to look the other way, but it does not benefit you or the child in the end. Dealing with misbehavior. Nip things in the bud. Not saying that you don't ever give grace. There is a time for being merciful, but if you notice something, take care of it right away. Probably one of the things that I've dealt with the most that I've learned to try to take care of immediately is lying. There was one year, I don't know what it was, but I had multiple students that just really struggled with that, and it was something that had to be taken care of. Make sure they know what they did and why they are being punished. Depending on the child or what it is, I'll often ask them, okay, what did you do? What was the offense? What did you do that was wrong? And they can usually tell you. And especially depending on how you're punishing or what the punishment is, I'll have them tell me why they're being punished before I punish them. Because I have had children go home and claim to their parents that they don't know why they were punished. And so if this child has already had to tell me why they're being punished, usually they can go home and tell mom why they were, what happened. Make the punishment fit the issue. Don't over-punish for something very small. I have found that it doesn't take much with kindergartners or first graders to leave an impression. Something that I've done, I think almost every year that I've taught with kindergarten, is I get just picture cards, like little punch-out cards or whatever from school store, and every morning I hang one on their desk, and then I have a hole punch, and I usually give them kind of a couple things that we're going to work on, okay, this week, or, well, at the beginning of kindergarten, there's lots of things to work on, but I'll say, okay, we're going to work on not getting out of our seats without permission and not talking without raising your hand. And then every time they do one of those things, then I punch a hole in their picture. And the goal is to see at the end of the day if they can get to the end of the day without having any holes in their card. And then I send it home. It goes home with them at the end of the day. And I always tell the parents about it, which I've done it for enough years now that all the parents know about it and they know what's coming. And I've already found, especially the last couple years, that the kindergartners come to kindergarten knowing that this is what's going to happen. And it has just worked wonders. I think it was the first couple years that I did it. I would wait for a couple weeks to start it. And it was so chaotic. I just couldn't handle it. So the last several years that I've done it, I've started it about day two, and I always feel a little bit cruel, but it makes the days run so much smoother, and they're happier, and I'm happier. And sometimes there have been years where I've given incentive that, okay, if we get to the end of the day and nobody's gotten any hole punches, they'll give them a piece of candy as they're walking out the door or something like that. And it has just been very, very... It's probably been one of the best things that I've done as far as something small that works so well. I've taught long enough now that there's high schoolers that I did it to when they were in my classroom, and they still talk about it, and it made a very big impression on them. All right, where are we at? Think first. Then deal quickly with the problem. Don't deal with it before you think through it. And sometimes it can mean just walking away from the situation for a little bit, going and talking to another teacher, whatever you need to do. But don't drag it out, especially with little people. Their conscience needs cleared. I've had children that just practically won't work or do anything until the problem's taken care of. Be gentle but firm, and don't back down. If you've told them, if you do this, something's going to happen, don't back down on it, because their respect for you will leave quickly if they learn that teacher will back down if I make a fuss or whatever. Be willing to apologize when you make a mistake. And I've had to do that. It's not very much fun to stand up in front of your whole classroom and apologize for something, but sometimes you have to, whether it's the way you talk to them or whatever. Be willing to do that. And this is something that my principal told me one of the first years that he was there, and I have always, it's stuck with me ever since he said it. You can be harder on your students if you show love and sympathy towards them. And I have found that to be so, so true. If they know that you really care about them, care about them as a person, they will respect you much more when there's hard things to deal with. And yeah, I've just found that you can be hard on them as long as you are still caring about them. Children will work harder for you if they trust you and feel loved. Like I said a couple different times already, they want to please you. They're not out to just be terrible children. And if there are big problems, often there's a reason for it. Discipline is not what you do when children misbehave. It is what you do so they do not. And that can be a challenge, learning how to prevent misbehavior. Discipline is about giving children what they need, not what they deserve. And lastly, a disciplined classroom is an effective classroom. So, like I said, it can be a big challenge to know how to do it. It can be a little bit intimidating, especially when the parents are, they're not your children. And so you do have to be careful in the whole discipline area. But your classroom will run so much smoother if you keep it disciplined, and it'll be more efficient and everyone will work better and be happier. All right, any questions, comments, things to add, things you don't agree with? No. No.
Or how much is too much?
Last year, trying to think what I did last year. Last year I did the gumball machine. And I did the pencil thing, which that doesn't take just a lot of work. I mean, other than being aware. Yeah, the gumball machine I think was kind of my big main incentive for the year. So often I'll try to kind of pick one thing for the year and do that. But often I don't do it all year. I found the incentives, yeah. I found, especially depending on what the incentive is, pretty soon they kind of lose interest and pretty soon it's more stress than work. I've done some for books, for reading, once first graders get to the point where they can read on their own, to get them to keep reading or practice reading. I've done different things for that. In fact, I think I used a CAM chart for that one year, maybe. It was for reading books. Yeah, don't try to do too many incentives at once. It will create, at least for me, it creates too much clutter in my mind. And find something that you like or that your children would enjoy and stick with it. I've had my children work towards a pet before. They could earn, I'm not sure if it was money or what we did, how I did that. But I know one year they earned a fish or goldfish. And then 2 years ago, they earned a gerbil. I would not encourage gerbils, but that's just me. They stink and they're a mess. So that's just my advice. Find a low maintenance pet. Anything else?
What about first graders that can't read yet that have lots of spare time?
That have come to school already knowing how to read?
No, or like they don't know how to read yet and they have lots of spare time and it's hard to know what to do.
So you're saying they don't know? Oh, they don't know how to read. Yeah.
Read a book or read something more.
At that age, I know my students last year, and there again, it sometimes just goes in grades, and I don't know if it's because there's one or two who really like to do something, and so all of them like to do it, but I've had years where puzzles were just a huge hit, or drawing. I think it was 2 years ago where I had a class of first graders that just loved to draw, and it was fun. Like I'm not an artist at all, and so it's a little bit difficult for me to know how to push them with that and encourage that, but they would spend so much time drawing in their spare time if they had it. I try to keep puzzles, flashcards. I try to get them to let them do flashcards together, or with me. Try to make it something that's not just, busy work, but that's profitable for them. Anything else? All right. Thank you for coming, and you are dismissed.
Thank you.